So this Lenten season, we are wrestling with change. That is our theme. And as I was thinking about the parable of the sower, I was thinking about words of truth, and that got me thinking about knowledge and ignorance. And then I learned a new word. I like learning new words, especially words that open up whole new areas of thought. And that's what this one did for me. The word is agnotology. Agnotology. And it's a newly coined word based on the Greek agnosis, meaning not knowing, plus the suffix ology, so the study of. So agnology, agnotology, is the study of ignorance. Agnotologists, and I'm drawing here on the work of someone named Robert Proctor, explain that ignorance is not as simple as we might first think. There are different kinds of ignorance, and Proctor proposes three distinct categories. First, ignorance is a native state. Think of the blank slate attributed to children. Second, ignorance is the result of selective choice. We focus on what interests us and ignore the rest. And third, ignorance is deliberately engineered, culturally produced as a strategic ploy. It is about the deliberate use of misinformation to create doubt. Because we have been rather ignorant about ignorance, we tend not to make these distinctions, but assume the first one, that ignorance is a natural state that's just fixed by education. Somebody doesn't know something, you teach it to them. They gradually learn it. When ignorance is understood as a natural state, then information is missing. A person just doesn't have all of the facts. So you fix it by providing accurate information, by presenting the facts. Easy. Self-evident. So why do some people still believe the Earth is only 6,000 years old? Because that doesn't reckon with the third kind of ignorance, the kind that is strategically fostered through the intentional creation of doubt and the deliberate use of misinformation. And the playbook on that was written by the tobacco industry. From the 1950s onward, Big Tobacco manufactured two products, cigarettes and doubt about the hazards of smoking. Following an explosion of evidence that cigarettes were killing tens of thousands of people every year, the tobacco industry launched a multi-million dollar campaign to create reasonable doubt about the evidence. Tactics included claims that the hazard had not yet been proven, that solid science was lacking, and that more laboratory tests were needed to resolve the controversy. The industry goal was to keep the question of the health hazard open for decades, if possible. Interminable controversy had the value of keeping smokers smoking and legislators pliable. Big Tobacco worked hard to disestablish facts through such key strategies as red herring research that sought other causes for lung cancer, white papers that repeated the "no one really knows" claims, and studies that proposed alternatives to the cigarette theory. Not surprisingly, when a Harris poll asked Americans, after several years of this, if actions could be taken to prevent lung cancer, more than half of them said no. What's with that? Why didn't they know? Are they just stupid? No, because deliberate and calculated steps had been taken to keep them in the dark. So at this point, you are probably thinking two things. Climate change deniers reek of these tactics. And when are we going to get to the parable of the sower? To which I say, yes, you should be thinking about climate change deniers. It's obvious that they've been using the big tobacco playbook. And we've been talking about sowing all along, but the sowing of doubt and misinformation. And maybe that can give us some insight into Jesus' parable. Jesus wants to teach people about God. So from this perspective, we can see God as, in the words of the parable, God is present in our lives. God is like a sower, casting seeds into our minds to guide us in our choices. You and I are metaphors for where the seed lands. We are the path, the rocky ground, the thorns, the good soil. And how we receive those impulses from God determines whether they are easily plucked from us, fail to take root, are choked by distraction or desire, or grow within us abundantly. But we live in a world where good seed is not the only kind sown. And since we have to make constant decisions about how to live and who to listen to and what to advocate for, it is probably good to be aware of the bad seed out there too. There are sowers of doubt, seeds of misinformation, and maybe we can use the parable to guide us with these bad seeds too. In this scenario, we turn the parable on its head. In this case, we don't want to be the good soil. We don't want to be susceptible to lies and manipulation. Satan may take away the good word in Jesus' parable, but in this upended version, it's our commitment to God's truth that helps us discern what we let grow in us and what we prevent from taking root. And God's truth is no mystery. We know it from the teachings of Jesus and the prophets. A commitment to social and economic justice, reverence for life, and an abiding presence as close as breath. This is all a far cry from the deliberate propagation of ignorance. I used big tobacco as my example, and it's important from a social justice standpoint to be aware of these tactics. But it's much more complicated than that, isn't it? We know this strategy of misinformation can be intensely personal too. Governments and corporations use the intentional production of ignorance at the institutional level, but people use it also in personal relationships, especially when they want to conceal their actions from others in the family or the workplace. And we do it to ourselves too. When we refuse to see through our self-produced doubts and deceptions. Whether the work of institutions, other persons, or ourselves, this kind of ignorance is propagated by sowing fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Overcoming it is hard. A mere statement of the facts is seldom enough. But maybe the parable of the sower can help. Not my upended version, but the way Jesus actually taught it. The parable of the sower encourages us to consider our receptiveness to God. Where, in our actions and dreams, are we open to God's presence? Where, in our stubborn beliefs and behaviors, do we block ourselves from that knowledge? What choices can we make that will make us more responsive? The sowers of doubt can teach us something too. Those folks are nothing if not focused and determined. They set a goal and hammer at it year after year after year, using all of their resources at hand to keep making their point. In the language of the parable, they keep casting their seed. There is no toss it out there once and see where it lands. They never stop. Surely God is at least as persistent. The sower never ceases. The ground is always shifting. Today you may be on rocky ground, tomorrow in the thorns, but God never stops offering you seeds of hope and possibility, imaginative ways forward, drawing you into the depth and richness of your own creative ground. There is an alternative to fear, uncertainty, and doubt. That alternative is trust. Trust in a God who never leaves us and who never lies, but only offers unending possibilities for the creative transformation of our lives. There is no end to God's giving. There is no end to your becoming. And this is what Jesus' parable teaches. Of that, there is no doubt.
Will you join me in prayer? God who is sowing, God who is nurturing, God who is growing, you have planted within creation the seed that is the Word, bringing order to the chaos and enlivening purpose within us all. In every moment, we make the choice to join you in nourishing and tending this holy becoming, bringing hope and compassion and respect into the world. Each of us is here today because we sense you within us, and we choose to respond. During the quiet of the Lenten season, we clear a space in our hearts where love can grow. We clear a space in our minds where truth can land and become real in the world. God, who is surprising, what in this moment are you calling us to do? God, who is loving, we open ourselves to you, trusting in your promise to always be with us. United in that trust, we pray as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.